Good morning. It's good to see each one here. I greet you in the name of Jesus, who shed his blood for us. Isn't that amazing? I really like that picture, Jerry, of the two angels sitting at each end. I don't know that I'd put that together before, but that makes a lot of sense. For the message this morning, I want to start out with a story that happened to me, and I hope, it's kind of a funny story, but it taught me a lesson, and I want to share that with you this morning. So, I won an award at the Larson dealer meeting last fall. So Larson sells equipment. They sell me furnaces, air conditioners, heat pumps, line sets, you know, all kinds of stuff. And I knew there was a dealer meeting coming up, and I wanted to go to it. So a lot of times, so Larson's a nationwide distributor company. So they have branches all over the country. And a lot of times they have their dealer meeting out in Wisconsin. And so it's just, I don't know, it's not worth to go that far for me. But this year they did, or last year they did, where they had dealer meetings in each, each area or whatever. So, like, they did one in Wisconsin. They also did one in Indianapolis for the, like, Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky area. So I wanted to go. And I don't know, about a month before that, I got a phone call from somebody at, it was from the man that was head of sales at Larson. In for this region. Region's the word I was looking for. He's the head of sales for this region. And he said, so a little bit of a story on him. So he is a very interesting guy. His name is David, very energetic. And he hired on to Larson as a salesman, I don't know, a couple years ago. And he was my salesman for about a year. And he quickly climbed the ladder, and now he's head of sales for the whole region. And so he asked me how I was doing. He kind of told me what he's been up to and stuff, and asked me how business has been, and, you know, he can see how much I buy from them or whatever, and he said, man, Gary, he said, you're killing it. You're doing well, and, you know, how salesmen are. And then he wondered if I'm coming to the dealer meeting. I said, yeah, I'm really excited for it, and he said, well, you didn't hear it from me, but you're going to win an award there. And he said, I actually, you know, he said, I don't call contractors anymore. I don't, you know, my job is to manage the people that do. And so he said, but he said in their meeting when they were, you know, talking about this, he said, my name came up, and he's like, hey, I want to call that guy. I haven't talked to him in a while. I'm going to call him. And the guys in the meeting, like, looked, or this is what David said, okay. So the guys in the meeting looked at him and are like, wow, he's actually going to call a contractor? Like, wow, you know. So he was really buttering me up. And I'm thinking, like, I'm just a two-man crew. Like, I don't sell that much. So what kind of award could I have won? What could it be? Most improved? And I thought, well, you know, we just done the project at the school where we bought a lot of Mitsubishi equipment. I thought, well, maybe I got, like, you know, most improved in Mitsubishi, or maybe, I don't know, who knows? Maybe it's because I'm such an easy contractor to work with. Maybe it's because I have such low warranty deals with my installs. You know, I think I may have stretched my shirt a little bit, you know. So it came time for the dealer meeting. I went down to Indianapolis and really enjoyed the meeting. It was a two-day deal, so they had some training. A lot of good advice. It was good for me to hear. Leadership stuff, how to be a good business owner. They talked about setting goals for your company, leading well, don't get burned out, have good customer care. You know, some of the stuff, you know, they obviously want me to sell a lot. And so they, you know, some of their advice was, I would say, a little iffy. But it was good. I enjoyed it. We heard from the president of Rheem, the owner of the Larson company. And then we also heard, which was really interesting, we heard an owner from Chicago just talking about his company. Like, he has a massive company, hundreds of trucks on the road. I want to say like 900, but I could be wrong. And so he was just talking about his tricks and tips and stuff of how he's found success. And then I heard from the owner, or one of the brothers, so there's two brothers that own the Peterman Brothers company down in Indianapolis. And again, a massive company. They have, yeah, they actually just opened a branch up here. They bought out Crystal Valley, and now it's the Peterman Brothers. And so he, and his talk was really interesting, just tips to for success and how to get there. And the awards banquet was the first night, so it was kind of a banquet setting. You know, they had tables, nice meal. And then came time for the awards. And there was a couple other contractors sitting at my table, and one of the guys was like, "Do you know anything about these awards?" He said, "I got a phone call saying I was going to win an award." Anyways, so kind of hit it off with him. We were having some fun. He had a really dry sense of humor. And they started out with the Mitsubishi Awards, and they started with the lowest. And I think there was about four winners in each category. So they started with silver, and they went through the silver. And my friend that was sitting there, you know, we were kind of joking about this award stuff and whatever, and when they called his name, he kind of gave me this and went up and got his award. And it was so funny. Then they did gold, and then I think they did some that were like most improved or whatever, or, you know, people that had, you know, sold a lot or whatever, and they were recognizing that. But my name wasn't called. And then I was really baffled. I thought, well, there's no way. Like, what in the world is this award for? So then it was time for the Ream Awards. And so it would sound like this, you know, there was somebody up that would make the announcement, you know, for outstanding performance in Ream heating and cooling product sales, the bronze award goes to, and then they would say the company. And there would be applause, and the man would go up, get his award, and then he would stand there with the owner of Larson, the head of sales, you know, all these important people, and they would, you know, get his picture taken, and, you know, it's kind of a big deal. And that's what I won. I won bronze in Ream. Isn't that amazing? In fact, I'm going to set it here so you guys can see it. Yeah, applause is appropriate here. And I thought, wow, I must be doing pretty well to have won bronze as a two-man company. I thought, this is pretty good. I thought about all the things that I try to do as a company to set myself apart, and I thought, it must be working. I must be killing it, right? So then came silver and then gold. And there was another contractor sitting at my table, and he won gold. And it was kind of neat. He was actually from this area, I think, moved down to there towards Indy, and his company's down there. And I thought, well, that's neat. He won gold. That's awesome. And I thought, you know, Mitsubishi stopped at gold. And I figured, well, now they'll do most improved, and that's it. I came in number three. That's pretty good for a small company like mine. But then they did platinum, and I thought, oh, okay. I mean, that's okay. I mean, I thought gold was the top, but, you know, bronze is still good. But then they did double platinum. I thought, is double platinum real? Like, is that a real thing? Bronze, silver, gold, platinum. I was number five. Not good. Oh, well, let's move on. But no, then they had to call out diamond. You know, at this point, it would have been better to not win an award than to win bronze. But they weren't done. They called triple diamond. So let's just say that I went home from the dealer meeting with the same opinion of myself that I started with before I got the phone call. And I'm going to keep this plaque, and I keep it in my office because it reminds me of a very important lesson. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Galatians chapter 6, verse 3, and you can turn to that because we're going to stay there. I'm only going to read one verse for now. Galatians chapter 6, verse 3 says, "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." So are you really something this morning? And how do you gauge that? How do you know you're something? Or how do you know you're someone? "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." Do you think that you're something because of what others say about you? Do others judge rightly? Do you compare yourselves to others for the mark of excellence? So I'm doing well because I'm doing better than the people around me. So I want to talk about those two things. So the first one, comparing ourselves to others around us to see how we're doing. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12 says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." So why are they not wise? And I think it's because asking the question, "How am I doing?" is such a human question to ask. We ask that because we don't know how we're doing. We don't know what's good on our own. We don't know what's true on our own. So we humans search for truth. So why would we compare ourselves with other humans that are searching for truth? It's just not wise. What good does it say? Or what good does it do to say, "I'm okay because I'm better than that person"? Because that person might be doing really bad, and so are you. So comparing yourselves among yourselves is not wise. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 17, 18, so this is further down in the same chapter. "But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth." So it doesn't matter what my opinion is, or what others' opinion is. It matters what God thinks. Well, what about asking others what they think of us? You know, do others judge rightly? And this kind of follows the same logic as the first thing of comparing ourselves with others. But if we shouldn't compare ourselves with others, then how much weight does what somebody says have, or how much weight should it have? Flattery is a real thing, and that kind of came out in the story that I told. Like, I was flattered. Someone may say a bunch of good things about me and withhold the bad. You know, David wanted to really butter me up and really, you know, make me feel really good because I buy from him, and he wanted to keep selling to me. You know, it's pretty easy to get somebody on your side. You know, just what to say. I'll say some nice things about them and, you know, have them eating out of my hand. I'll hand out plaques. I'll tell Gary that he's killing it in sales so that he feels good about us and will keep buying from us. People have things that we want, and so we'll manipulate them to get what we want. Do people get to decide who goes to heaven and who's sent to hell? Absolutely not. Do people decide what wisdom is? No, we're the ones who search out wisdom and need wisdom. So don't put much stock in what other people say. Now, I'm going to come back to this later, okay? So you might disagree, and you should, with that statement of not putting much stock in what others say. I'm going to explain some other things, and we'll come back to that. So how do we measure ourselves? How do we know if we're killing it, if we're doing well? Your own opinion doesn't count, obviously. Others' opinion isn't worth much, and comparing yourselves to others isn't wise. So what is the measure? What is the measuring stick? God is the judge. We judge ourselves based on what he says. He decides what is right and what is wrong. And it doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what others do. It doesn't matter what others say. It matters what God has decided. God doesn't need somebody to tell him the truth. God is the truth. God doesn't measure himself by others. Like, what can you compare God to? There's no other God like our God. And God doesn't need anything from us. He's complete, and so God doesn't flatter us, and that comes out in what he says. If you want to measure yourself to God's standard, if you're a sinner, this is how you measure up. So how many times did God tell the children of Israel that they were a stiff-necked and rebellious people? Like, reading through the Old Testament is so interesting because God says it how it is. Like, you know, when Joshua took over or whatever, and, you know, when Moses, I think in his last speech or whatever, Moses said, "But you are a stiff-necked people." Like, well, that's not encouraging. But that's what God's opinion is of people that are sinners. And God came down hard on them for that. And we're not really any better on our own. Romans chapter 3, verses starting at verse 9. "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God." And then verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That means that all of us are definitely not killing it. Coming up short isn't... Falling short doesn't win triple diamond. It doesn't even win bronze. Coming short doesn't win anything. And that's where we are as sinners. We fall short. Falling short doesn't even win most improved. It doesn't win anything. And you may think, well, you know, we've done some good works. You think you're a good person. You have your struggles, but you have your good person. Remember, I'm talking about the sinner here. That even the righteousness that a sinner does is like filthy rags before the Lord. It's worthless. No awards here. And that's why they needed a sacrifice. That's why we so desperately need the blood of Jesus. That's why the blood of Jesus is priceless. That's why it means so much that Jesus died on the cross. What a glorious thing. That moment in time where Jesus paid our debt is unbelievable. It is just, it means so much. And it's because we're nothing. We don't have anything that Jesus needs. We're undesirable. And that's what makes Christ's sacrifice so meaningful, that he reached out to us in our state. While we were still sinning, Christ died for us. And why did he do that? John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." So God, the reason he did it is because of his great love for us. And it's only because he is a God of love, for no other reason. God in his love paid our price. What a glorious thing. Now, for the one that trusts in the blood of Jesus, God also, he doesn't flatter. He speaks the truth. Galatians 4, verses 1 through 7. You should be in Galatians 6. You can just turn back to Galatians 4, verses 1 through 7. "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then heir of God through Christ." Isn't that amazing? we are now the children of God. People that were nothing, people that were worthless, are now God's children. And if that isn't enough, God, it says that God gave us the Spirit. And yeah, as a down payment of what's to come. 1 John 3, verses 1 through 3 says, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." So we purify ourselves with the aid of the Holy Spirit. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we put off sin and put on the fruit of the Spirit. Because we are clothed in righteousness, our works are no longer filthy rags, but they become a sweet savor and an acceptable sacrifice to God. And you know, I think it's actually good to give out awards, to give out plaques, to recognize good. When somebody does something that's good, that is godly, I think we need to acknowledge it and point it out. And you know, we don't point out what's good in our own opinion, but we point out what's good. Like we share what God has taught us or whatever. We recognize the good that God sees in others. And it's not, you know, I think we should recognize it because that's what God does. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25, it says, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." So we are aiming for a crown. In Revelations chapter 3, verse 11, and this is after some encouragement to the church in Philadelphia, Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." So we should anticipate this crown, this reward, and we should be jealous of it. Don't let anybody take that crown that God is going to give us. Now, this is triple diamond. This is the highest award that we've been given. And it's because of what Christ did for us. Now, we were kind of talking about if we are something or if we're nothing. And I think we've established that without Christ, we are nothing. No awards there. We talked about comparing ourselves with others, gauging ourselves off of others' opinions, and how that isn't wise. So how much should we, as believers, speak into each other's lives? And I want to talk about that a little bit. So that verse I read in Galatians 6, verse 3, says, "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." That's actually in context of helping others and reaching out to others. So turn to that, and I want to read a little bit more there. Verses 1 through 3. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." Now I think this is all directed at the counselor in the situation. "Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one." So if a man is overtaken, you which are spiritual, so that's who is being addressed here, and that's what the wisdom here is for. So, in other words, make sure that you're actually helping. Make sure that what you're teaching is not just your opinion, but God's opinion. Verse 4, "But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another." So, search it out, find out what is right, and then you can have confidence that what you're teaching is right. And it's not just, you're not just going off of what Gary said. Well, Gary said this, and so I'm going to tell this to this hurting person. No, search it out for yourself. That way you know for sure, and it's not just what somebody else is saying. And verse 5, it says, "For every man shall bear his own burden." And it's a little bit confusing, I think, in the King James. Bible in Basic English says, for every man is responsible for his part in the work. So what is the work? Bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So the law of Christ is that we would bear each other's burdens, and every man is supposed to have a part in that work. Every man is responsible to fulfill the law of Christ by bearing each other's burdens. And that's kind of an interesting topic. That would be interesting to dive into that and, like, what does that look like practically to bear each other's burdens? And I'm not going to get into that, but yeah, something you should dig into. But we're supposed to do that, but we need to make sure that we're teaching something, not nothing. And he says to restore these people and bear each other's burdens and then make sure that you're teaching the truth. But what is the measure? Like, how do we know? And there's a lot in Galatians, but how about this? So let's go back to chapter 5, and we'll read the verses just prior to this. And I believe this is the measure. We'll start at chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like. So he didn't finish. He said, and the such like. So that encompasses a lot of things. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So how's that for a measure? Like, as you fulfill the law of Christ in bearing each other's burdens, are you something or are you nothing? How do you line up with this? Does your life look more like the works of the flesh or the works of the Spirit? If you stand up to bear someone's burden, and you're in the same place that they are, you're in just as deep as they are, that doesn't work very well. I would encourage you that as you bear each other's burdens, reach for the crown. Reach for the triple diamond. Make sure that what you're telling them lines up with the fruit of the Spirit. Make sure that your life lines up with that. And you know, I really like God's example of there's a crown waiting, there's a reward. Like, when we do good, there's a reward. I love that picture of the crown that's waiting for us in heaven. But you know, we have the example of the 24 elders. I think it's in Revelations chapter 4, I think. The 24 elders casting their crowns before the throne of God. I know God is pleased with us when we follow him. I know he has a reward, a crown waiting for us in heaven. But there's no way that we can stand before Jesus wearing our crown. The only way we got our crown was because of him, because he shed his blood for us. And I want to see Jesus and give him my reward, because he is the one that made it possible. He's the one that deserves it, not me. And I guess this is what I want you to take away, maybe the biggest thing this morning. I want you to see this. Forget the rewards, forget the plaques, forget triple diamond, and forget even the crown. I want to see Jesus and to kneel before him and thank him for what he's done for me. And everything else is less. It's meaningless. A bronze award is nothing. Success in this life is nothing. I want to get that crown and lay it at his feet. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I'm just so thankful for all that you've done for us. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving our sins, for making a way for us to be something and for us to be restored and to become your sons and daughters. Thank you for your blood that was shed for us. And thank you for the reward that you're going to give us. And Lord, we're so unworthy of it. I pray, Lord, that we would live our lives with a love for Jesus and what he's done, and that would affect every part of our lives. Just thank you so much for your blessings. Thank you for your love and reaching out to us and making a way. In your name, amen.